This is a graphically novel, a podcast by three brothers who like each other but love comic books. I'm Jamie.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And on this episode, we're reviewing one of my picks. So it's going to be a good one. Right, Josh?
Yeah.
Sure.
Shade has already been thrown pre-show, and I'm concerned. But this is just a reminder that we have tinkered with the format of the show slightly, and it is now a all-spoilers podcast. So, yeah, there's not going to be a warning. This is the warning. Full spoilers ahead. So as far as defending the pick, I wanted to do a Punisher book. We hadn't done one. This isn't the one I wanted to do. The one I wanted to do was the one by Matthew Rosenberg, where Nick Fury, for for reasons, gives the Punisher War Machine armor.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
That's the book I wanted to review. So I just started scrolling through different Punisher runs, seeing who, like, what creative teams have been on them. I found there was one by Greg Rucka. I love Greg Rucka. I saw the artist was Marco, a guy whose name I can't pronounce. Cachetto. I have no idea how his name is pronounced. I was like, love this creative team. We'll do that one. So this is the runner-up Punisher book, but we'll see if anybody liked it or not. But now we have to do the Comixology summary, and this is, I think, the worst Comixology summary I've ever read, and most of them aren't good. So
that's why we do breakdowns, because of this reason.
Yeah, this is exactly why the breakdowns happened. I think this is so bad. Anyway, here we go. This is the Comixology summary for Punisher by Greg Rucka, Volume 1. The biggest gun of all is back with blood on his hands and vengeance in his eyes to serve his own brand of justice with everything he's got. But can the Punisher survive the darkness stored in his own arsenal? That's all of it.
Sweet. Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Nailed it.
I like it.
That literally says nothing. Like, hey guys, it's a book starring the Punisher. That's all.
Yeah. Bloody.
He's got baggage. Guess what?
It's like describing a Batman book as, you know, depressed orphan punches people. It's just nothing.
Exactly.
It's so bad. Anyway, here are the creator credits, and I've already spoiled most of these. It's written by Greg Rucka, art by Marco Cicchetto, colors by Matt Hollingsworth, letters by VCs Joe Caramagna. Caramagna? I don't know. I'm butchering a lot of stuff this one. Covers by Brian Hitch, Paul Neary, and Paul Mounts. Now it's time for the live-action Batman grades. This is our eccentric grading scale based on the men who have thus far played Batman in live action. And for best to worst, that scale is Bell, Affleck, Keaton, West, Kilmer, and, of course, poor George Clooney. Sam? Did you like this book?
I did like this book. And there's a few things that I feel like it brought it down a little bit. So I gave it we really need another grade. But I gave it a Keaton plus. It's almost an Affleck.
We're about to have another grade.
I know. I can't wait. I'm really excited. But anyway, so yeah. So it's kind of on the plus side, but still.
I know from the past, Sam does not like Greg Rucka's writing style. So I was prepared for Sam to not like this book. He's not a Rucka fan. Josh, you are a Rucka fan. The handful of Rucka books that we have reviewed, you have liked and Sam always hates. So I was counting on you to help me out here. So Josh, what is your live action Batman grade?
Oh, I'm in the same boat with Sam. Oh. I really, it's our first Punisher book. I wanted it to be an Affleck or a Bell, and I just couldn't do it. I went Keaton. I'll say Keaton plus to make you happy, but it did not make it to the Affleck range. And I think that pre-show I may have hinted at some of my complaints, and we'll get into it here in a little bit.
I'm giving this thing a creator creative team bump. I'm going to Affleck, but it's not great. I know it's not. This is not your standard Greg Rucka series. It's not up to his standard label. This isn't Lazarus. Lazarus knocked my socks off and made me read the whole thing. I've read every issue of Lazarus. I've read the little spinoff X plus 66 or whatever it was called. I love Rucka. This is not, I think there was editorial like meddling with this one. I think there's a whole plot line with like a bad guy and a group of mobsters controlling that bad guy that he had no interest in. I feel like there's like meddling all over this book where like Rucka wanted to tell a story but they got to punch stuff, right? I mean, it's a Marvel book. Give him something to punch, guys. Come on. Yeah. And I feel like that really detracted from the book and really detracted from my grade. This really is a Keaton level book, but there's enough cool stuff going on that I'm going to read more. So I liked all the Rucka parts. I didn't like any of the editors making Rucka do things parts.
But that's, we'll cover it later, but that's, yeah.
You can feel it though, can't you, as you're reading it?
Yeah. That's a lot of my complaints.
Yeah. All right. Then I guess we are on the same page. I just didn't have the heart to give a book written by Greg Rucka and drawn by Marco Checchetto anything lower than a Keaton. I mean, anything lower than an Affleck. I couldn't go Keaton. Anyway, let's move on. And now we'll hear all of Josh's bitterness and venom all on display. Because now it's time for the graphically novel pyramid, the part of the show where we evaluate the book of the week based on the three elements we believe a book has to nail to be a good book. And the first of these is story. And Sam, tee off on Marvel editors. Go.
Exactly. I mean, you said it best when you was talking about in your grade how like I feel like if they just want to go one way, but then I was like, oh, you got to punch people, whatever. So I feel like there's a huge missed opportunity here, especially with the way they introduced Frank Castle in his story. So they brought him in and he like saved the cops, but the children at the school ground got him, pulled a fire alarm, all that stuff was a cool setup. I was like, oh, it's gonna be a story told from everybody else's perspective around Punisher, what's going on, what's happening. So he's not like the main key character here, but they never followed through with it. I feel like it was a swing and a miss on that side of it. So we got the officer, I guess he's feeding him information. Every now and then he gets like an alert on his phone, like, oh, I gotta run. But they never confirmed that he was going to Frank or if he's feeding information to the bad guys. I mean, what exactly he's doing. So I feel like the story has a lot of plot holes in it. What else?
Or meddling.
Meddling. So, you know, and I was reading my notes again. But, you know, there's a lot of meddling going on. I just think it's a good premise, but poor execution.
I think first two issues are almost completely Rucka stuff. And that's where you see like the building up the detectives and the storyline with the reporter lady. Yeah. And then suddenly it's like, oh, there's mobsters. And there's this, you know, mutant vulture guy that he has to fight. And it's just like, it's so left field feeling.
Yeah. And then they brought in that, the other crew that like she hired the vulture, whoever it was. I guess she's like kind of the kingpin of that area or whatever.
Yeah.
But she brings in the other people, the vulture, try to take him out, and then I kind of resolve that neither. Like, they never show because they like glance to her every now and then. That's another thing I had wrote down here, too, is the wedding shootout in the very beginning. The people that done that, they kind of really did they ever resolve that? I never did understand that.
Rucka does like a slow burn, but
yeah,
I think like they were messing with his pacing and even plot points.
Yeah, because I think I would like to have seen that resolved in the first volume, at least give us some closure on that lady. They were setting up a lot. I don't know if it's called setting up, but they were changing the story as it went. That's how I felt about it.
Yeah. It felt to me like Rucka was wanting to write a gang war story. You had these two gangs that showed up at this wedding and you got the detectives involved and it's going to be Frank Castle fighting these gangs in New York. And then issue three, they're like, oh, we're going to throw in some mafia mob retired Hydra people that are now, you know, running a corporation or something, and they're going to be the bad guys. And it totally illegitimized the first two issues, which I thought were pretty good. One of my pre-show comments I was giving Jamie a hard time on is that it's a Punisher comic, and you don't get Punisher till the end of issue one, and you get like four panels of him. So Rucka does like a slow burn. And I was willing to roll with that because it almost felt like if you're watching like a scary movie and there's like murky water and there's like a shark that's kind of just swimming and you see a little glimpse of it every now and then, and it's like building some tension. I thought that's what Rucka was going for. Like, it's going to be this real in the shadows Punisher that we're not going to get a lot of panel time with, but he's going to be doing stuff. And I was ready to roll with that. And then issues 3, 4, and 5 didn't go that way. And it changed the vibe of the story. So the story was kind of all over the place. I wasn't real happy with the story.
Yeah, I would have dug it if it was the first two issues was the whole volume, the whole storyline, seen that through. Then it would have definitely got a higher grade.
Because that wedding, the entire issue one, like 29 people die at this wedding. And it's this huge two gangs show up at this Marine's wedding. And you're like, man, what's going on? There's a story here. And then we go away from that. And it never gets explained. You don't really know what's going on. You get nothing else from the wedding except the bride that survived shows up at the very end for a second. But that storyline didn't get developed at all outside of issue one, really.
Yeah.
But
you can tell. I wonder if the sales were bad after the first two issues. They're like, you know, he's not punching enough monsters, guys. We need some actual villains. We need some Hydra people. We need some mutated vulture people. Like, come on. This is a Marvel book. This isn't some Image, you know, gritty Ed Brubaker crime novel.
Yeah. I mean, you bought a issue one Spider-Man and he's only in 5 panels on the last page. That might not be great for sales.
Punisher's not Spider-Man.
That's true. But still, you got to have the title character in more than one page of issue one, especially.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure we all enjoyed the first season of Boba Fett. There's 2 whole episodes he's not in.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
Not the first one, though.
But. true that.
Okay, in defense of writers, it's easy to have like Spider-Man because he talks the whole time. The Punisher's whole thing is like he doesn't talk; he just murders people.
I show him in the background with a gun sniping somebody. Like, he's not in it. You don't physically see Frank Castle until the last page.
They showed him like circling the block in his murder van or something.
Yeah, I mean, he put him in the thing.
They retired the murder van after the 90s.
Huh?
They retired the murder van after the 90s.
Oh, is that what happened?
I forget what it was actually called, but yeah, it really was the murder van.
Yeah, I know it was the murder van.
I will say for the story, though, I bashed it a little bit. It's got a Punisher vibe. I think Rucka grabbed what a Punisher story is. It had a good feel to it for the most part. So I wasn't too mad about that. I think the plot, there was 2 different plot lines that felt like we're fighting for attention, and I think the wrong one got picked to focus on.
Well, I think this is jumping ahead of my notes a little bit. I wanted to mention some character section, but there's different ways to tell a Punisher story, and different writers want to try to make him a little bit more heroic. Some really lean into the anti-hero thing, where he's a hero, but he has really violent methods. And Rucka does sort of I don't read a ton of Punisher stories, but it kind of makes him feel like more of a force of nature than an actual character. Like once his family was killed, like Frank Castle really did die, but also like whatever made him human died. And now he's like an elemental force. And I really like the way Ruck is writing that him, how that plays out in the story. I think that's why we get so little of him early in the book and why it feels so strange when suddenly he's on every single panel after right. that. We lose that feeling of Frank as force of nature.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I said, Rucka was trying to scary monster in the woods. You're just getting glimpses of, you know, he's building that tension up. Like
Frank Castle as Jaws.
Yeah, he's like little glimpse. He like pops in for a second, real intimidating, does something scary, then he's gone again, and you don't get him for a while. If they'd have carried that whole style through worked. All the issues, it would have been good. I mean, I can see that building a lot of tension.
100% would have worked.
Mm-hmm. Just off the top of my head, just the first two issues had like the Netflix John Bernthal Punisher feel to it, kind of like the gritty kind of thing going forward, and then the last three are like the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of beat 'em up Michael Bay movie. What happened? They switched it.
We went from Bernthal to Thomas Jane.
Yeah. There was a lot of panel time of him fighting the vulture up in the sky.
there was
a lot of pages of no dialogue, no nothing, just them up there attacking each other.
Anyway, you want to do the smart nail, guys?
Yeah.
All right, Josh, lead us off on art.
For me, the art was the highlight. It felt spot on. The color palette, I thought, really worked. It gave it a moodiness, a griminess that I like for a Punisher story. And I thought his impressionistic Punisher vest was the coolest Punisher vest I've seen in a long time. It was great. Damn, you must not have liked it because he's laughing.
I liked it, though. I agree. I liked it all.
I thought it was really cool.
We have the film negative versions of these talking points.
Oh, yeah?
My first note is, Chichetto's art is amazing, but it's way too pretty to be good, any good for the Punisher.
No, really. I thought it was working. I thought it was real moody. You know, the dark blues and the grays and stuff.
It's just pretty. I mean, it's too pretty.
It's done well,
It's supposed to be gritty, though. And it's like, everything's just too pretty.
It's smooth. It really isn't. It's not gritty. It's a smooth art style.
Yeah. I don't think it fits.
I enjoyed it, though. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'm never mad to look at Marco Chichetto art. I'm like, you're one of the best artists working, but you're the wrong guy for this series.
I thought it worked, again, issues 1 and 2. I thought it worked for that kind of story. I don't know, again, that it worked for the Vulture fight or some of the other stuff that happened later.
That's a bad character design, too.
Yeah, I didn't get that Vulture.
I wasn't mad at it.
I thought it was awful.
Not like a huge Vulture fan or nothing. I was rolling with it.
I need the old man with the hairy turtleneck. That's what I need.
Yeah, that's why every time I think of Vulture, that's what I see. That, but now I think of Michael Keaton also with his bomber jacket on. That's my two Vultures. Not this thing.
And I hated the skull. I thought it looked terrible.
Really? I like it.
Yeah. It doesn't even look like it's actually on the vest. It looks like somebody, like a dude wearing a vest, like took a picture of himself and painted the skull on the picture. It doesn't look like it's actually on the Punisher ever. It looks so weird and strange.
That's why I clarified it by saying the impressionistic version of his vest. Because it does not look like a vest somebody's wearing.
But if by impressionistic you mean nonsense, I'm with you.
Yeah, stylized.
Look good for my awards.
I know, right? We probably got the same. I think we're talking about the same thing. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm allowed to be wrong.
Yeah. It almost had like a Sin City vibe because you would see Frank Castle kind of grayed out in the background, and then that really stylized skull would be kind of popping off the page to really draw its focus. I dug it.
I hated it.
Yeah. Well, you got outvoted.
Well, there's a couple things I didn't want to say about the art. I did enjoy the full panels. Everything colored nicely. All the proportions, all that stuff was awesome. It was always looked good. Page layouts surprised me. Sometimes they, like, on the edges, they had, like, different stuff. Like when she was in the hospital, they had the roses around it because it was the funeral. Not the funeral, the wedding. And she remembered. And, like, so that page was really cool. So there was some stuff that was really eye-catching. And I see where you're coming from, Jamie, saying that, like, it's not the right style for Punisher, but it was. It's still great art.
Yeah.
Might not fit the story perfectly, but it's still really, really good. Done well. I enjoyed it. I am the art snob, by the way.
I thought the faces were great. That was a big positive for me.
And they stayed consistent. That's what I liked about it, too. You could always tell who was who. Never was questioned. You had to wait till they started talking to see who was who. You know, all that stuff. Everybody was their own person, had their own distinct styles. I like it.
I thought the action was a little underwhelming, too. I wasn't blown away.
I mean, really, mostly just gun stuff. So it wasn't a whole bunch of other stuff. So the only really thing action-wise that I could say was the fight with the Vulture, and it was kind of, I don't know what the right word to use is. It's almost like a copy and paste. It looked like it flowed. It was just like snapshots of a fight.
Yeah. That wasn't great.
And it wasn't super clear, like, what was happening to each person. And what that green stuff was that was coming off the voice, like, what is that? That wasn't clear what that was.
From what I understood, it was some kind of poison gas that was melting his vest. And I don't know why it didn't melt his face or skin, but whatever.
It did his arm later. He saw bubbles on his arm.
Did it?
Hmm? Did Rucka work on a Moon Knight story?
Nobody should.
Well, on page 14, panel 2, they're in the subway down there, and there's a big poster for Moon Knight in the background.
There's I feel like a that bunch was, of...
Because it said, I think it even says New Moon over L.A., like that's happening on the West Coast, in my impression. I'm pretty sure this happened in New York, right? I don't know why there would be a Moon Knight article on the wall of a New York City thing that it's prominent unless he worked on it.
But no, if you pay attention to the background, that's... I should put that in my notes, but I think saying that now, there's a bunch of little Easter eggs there. I seen a Daredevil, Spider-Man, Daily Bugle. There's all kinds of little Easter eggs
there. There was a lot of New York references, which I got. Daredevil and Spider-Man and the Daily Bugle. I get that. But yeah, the Moon Knight one kind of, I was like, maybe you're up to work. I didn't bother to look it up, but I thought maybe he was working on a story. And then to tie us back to what we were talking about earlier with the faces, there was only one time I thought the faces didn't match. It's on page 13. It's panel 3. It's when they drew the detective Clemens as Morgan Freeman, which who I think was the model for this character. They just straight up drew his face on that panel. And you look at the panel right beside it, he does not look like that.
Yeah, there is that one Morgan Freeman panel. You're right.
13-3.
Oh yeah.
Now that is 100% Morgan Freeman. That's not even he. That's right out of the. That's an image taken from Saving. I was expecting Brad Pitt to be beside him. But other than that, yeah, the faces were really good.
Yeah, I'll move on to characters now. This was my favorite corner of the pyramid, and it was, for my money, really strong. He doesn't just have the Punisher as force of nature thing going on. There's also like a ton of side characters, like, you know, Detective Holt and his whole, you know, I got to be a detective because I was a coward and the Punisher saved me.
Yeah.
And there's Clemens who comes out of nowhere and he's this incredibly insightful, but really silent detective doing interesting things. And Holt's doing interesting things. And then there's the Rachel Alves, who survives the wedding, and she's the lone survivor of the massacre at her own wedding, and, you know, her dealing with the grief of that. And then they bring in Nora Winters, the reporter, and there's her whole storyline of wanting to do real reporting, but she's always on TV because she's just a face or whatever. Everybody had their own thing going on, and Rucka is so good at making us understand who people are and even care about what happens to them, and like so quickly. I know it doesn't work on you, Sam, but it 100% works on me.
Yeah.
I'm going to read the rest of this, not because I'm super interested in the plot. I just need to know what happens to Nora Winters. I need to know what happens to Holt. I mean, does he ever learn how to be brave? Does Clemens figure him out? Has Clemens already figured him out? You know, what's the whole, I mean, it's almost like I'm almost not reading it for the Punisher. It's for all the other people that Rucka has, like, you know, orbiting around him. So the characters were, I mean, just far and away the strongest part of this book.
And I agree with you. I actually really enjoy the characters in this book. And it's funny, it's like it's a Punisher book, but there's four characters. They're more interesting than the Punisher in his own book. And more, like as Josh even mentioned earlier, more panel time. Like I was interested in both the detectives, the reporter, maybe writer lady. What happened to the woman with the wedding to survive? But like I was curious about all that stuff. So he done really good with the characters. I think story was the weakest, then the characters are the best.
Yeah. No, I agree with all that. I don't have a lot of other notes. I think we were all picking up on the same thing. Frank Castle was too aloof in this one. He was too detached and too not in the story that it almost felt like we were reading a Punisher spinoff that was focusing on, you know, the detectives. And Punisher shows up every now and then, aside from the Vulture fight. He shows up a couple panels in an issue just to let you know you're in the Punisher world, but it's really not about him. He really wasn't in it. And to the point, I decided to go back and count how many words he said in those five issues. And I counted 44 words That's all he said in five issues. Right. Yeah.
And most of it was in the last five, too, when he's talking to the little boy.
Pretty much, yeah. So he didn't even hardly say anything in this. This almost didn't feel like a Punisher story.
But he's not a chatty guy. I mean, he's not quipping around the place like Peter Parker.
I know.
No,
he could have one conversation. He didn't have a single conversation. He made like five responses to that little kid. Like, he can talk to somebody.
He's not even snarky and bitter like Spider-Man 2099. Yeah. He is the prototype of the strong silent type.
You got to give me something to do some character work with. Yeah. We got one page of Nora Winters telling his backstory, and then that's it. Then he's not even in the thing that much. He pops up every now and then and fights somebody, and then he's gone.
We need to read Punisher War Machine.
Yeah.
He's a chatty Cathy in that book compared to this one.
And, like you said, yeah, I know Ruckett does go for the slow burn, so and that just may be building up to it. And like you said, he may have had some editorial directions where they changed some plot setup on him. But yeah, it was a mess for me on the Frank Castle part of it. The supporting characters were way more interesting and way more exciting to read about.
Hey, we still got key pluses out of us.
Yeah. Well, it's fine. My only negative point was the Vulture part of the story. They could have done something cool with that, and they chose not to.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell he was ordered to do something like that,
yeah.
And he didn't lean into it. He's like, "Yeah, I'll have him hurt and have to go like you know recuperate somewhere." But like, there's no real investment in that story. He's just like, "Man, let's let them punch and stab each other and claw each other for a while, for a long while."
That's really all that was. And I don't know, Vulture in that one that was wrote what he was really like. I just wonder if they actually made this Vulture just for this comic. Because they said that he was a mutated Vulture or something. So I don't know if it's the regular Marvel Vulture.
Yeah, they made one comment. Is he fighting that new Vulture?
Yeah.
He, like, threw the new in there. Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, because I figured it was something like that. Just like maybe try to kill it off real quick or make sure everybody's like, hey, this is not the normal Vulture. We're just going to take care of this.
If I had to guess, I would guess there'd been a recent event and there were some, like, monsters that were made in the event. This was just one of them. It was a convenient thing for him to go fight, and nobody cared if he killed it.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, but that was a wasted character, and it was a wasted issue. It was a bummer. Anyway, you want to give us some awards?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sam, what is your best cover?
I think it's on page 94, issue 5. Let me see if I can how he gets 94 now.
Yeah, that's right. The one where he's. How'd you get it?
He's all beaten up, and he's looking at his reflection in the water. Where he used to be I guess he was a Marine.
Yeah, that. I'm gonna jump in and say that's the right answer. That's 100% what I have. Yeah. I love that reflection. Him looking into who he used to be. He was a man of principle, man of honor, who upheld the law, and now he's this, you know, he would have considered himself what he is now in the reflection. He would have thought that who he is now is a monster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there's this, you can just see the pain, even in his, like, posture, the body language. You can tell he's in a lot of agony.
Yeah.
Go.
Did you have a different one, Josh?
Mm-mm, no.
Oh, okay. Well, I should have jumped in then. Sorry about that. Josh, who's your best character?
Surprisingly, not Frank Castle. Who'd have thunk it? I'm going with Nora Winters, the reporter. I liked her storyline. I liked how she wasn't happy just being the pretty face on the news, that she was a real reporter at one point. She got put on the on-screen stuff, and she's trying to get back. So she's like cutting her hair, making herself less attractive, so her boss won't put her on air, so she can go do "quote unquote" real reporting. So yeah, I liked her attitude and stuff.
See, that's where Chichetto like lets you down, because he makes everything look so good. Even her like supposedly garbage haircut, he like pretties up. It makes it look interesting looking. It's like,
yeah,
I don't think it's that bad, guys.
You've done that on purpose.
Yeah.
She looked a whole lot like Rachel Cole or Rachel Alves, the bride at the wedding.
That's like two really close, yeah.
They did like one woman's face and gave them different hair. They were pretty much the same.
I think you did the right answer there. I think Nora Winters is the most interesting person here, and definitely I'm going to read to find out what happens with her. But as far as runner up goes, I don't know if I want to go with Holt or Clemens. They're both really interesting. I'm gonna go with Clemens, just the mystery factor. You know, what's he up to? How did he, you know, get all this experience, and how did he develop this skill set that he just sees the connections behind everything? Because like Holt's always questioned, like, you know, why are you doing this? I thought we were investigating this. He's like, we are investigating that, because he knows they're connected, and there's no way he could know they were connected. And you just get this feeling he's already seen through Holt. He knows Holt isn't this brave hero. He suspects that Holt is working with the Punisher. And like, how does Clemens know all this? You know, it just, I think he's an interesting guy too. But Nora Winters is the right answer, but I like Clemens a lot.
Man, that's funny, because I wrote down exactly what you just said about both those. I felt bad when I wrote down Nora Winters. I was like, man, I'm going to get laughed off the show. But she was my first pick, then Detective Clemens was going to be my next pick. Just because I want to see what happened with him, what he's thinking. He laid down some hints in the comic.
I would love to read like a, you know, Ed Brubaker like criminal series, just style of story following around Holt and Clemens and seeing how that relationship plays out. Mm-hmm. That would be a fun series all by itself. All right, best panel. I struggle with this because there's I wasn't crazy about how this all worked. And I hated the Skull thing that I think you guys are going to highlight here in a second.
Yep.
but on page 20, panel 6, we see Frank sneaking up on a guy. It's when he's fought that bar, or that one gang. I guess it was kind of their home bar. And he's, you know, turned off the lights, and he's, you know, taking out the whole crew. And he's left the guy he's targeted on that bottom panel. Like, he's you know, lit his, you know, lighter, and he looks up, and there's Frank standing over him. And I'm like, that's kind of got a horror movie feel to it. It just,
yeah,
you can kind of feel what's happening there. That's a good piece of art. Most likely.
All right, if you want to go to the very next panel, the very next page, page 21, panel 1, is when he looks up and actually, we see what he sees. It's the first time you actually get to see that. I don't know why I like it.
You hate it. Jamie, you got to be wrong, because I picked the same thing.
Oh my God.
That's my best panel. It's you.
It's got blood all over it. It's good.
It's not the best. It's you, Jamie.
It doesn't even look like Marco Ciccetto drew that. It's like Marco Ciccetto turned into a story about some guy wearing black fighting people, and the editors were like, but let's go along there and draw in a completely different art style.
Wow. Well, yeah, I got a runner up if you want to see it then.
I didn't even go runner up. That's the only one I wrote down.
All right. Well, this could almost be considered a full page if I didn't use it, because it's a Josh pick. So page 93. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. It's a full page with two panels all over top of it. But it's the shadow that caught my eye. It's when Frank's walking out. You can see the skull. It's his shadow on the floor.
I didn't hate that one. That's pretty good.
I like him all broken and beaten up, but seeing the skull shadow was pretty cool.
We should probably do Franken Castle at some point, too.
Franken Castle.
He gets turned into a Frankenstein monster for a while.
That's what was happening when you said Franken Castle.
It's a famous / infamous story. I think we'd have fun tearing into.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
You're outvoted on the best. I'll stand behind it.
I hate it. I was mad looking at that.
It's awesome.
I can't believe you all like it.
It's awesome.
It looks like somebody drew traditional comic book art and then took like watercolors and like just painted over the page.
They were highlighting the awesomeness.
Yeah. If you put yourself in the criminal's position, he's down there in that dark bar with his little Zippo, and you look up and there's that ghostly skull, all fuzzy looking and not super defined. It's real ominous looking.
You know what it feels like? This is what it feels like to me. It feels like, remember in the late 90s when they're starting to incorporate like a lot of CGI into movies and stuff, and it didn't really feel like it was in the same space. Like even in The Phantom Menace, like Jar Jar doesn't feel like he's actually there sometimes.
Yeah.
Like he's just, you know, like the lighting is wrong. He doesn't, there's no weight to the character. That's what that skull looks like to me. Like it's not really there kind of thing. I don't know. It bothered me.
Most people wish he wasn't there. Jar Jar. Sorry.
I'm one of those people. Sam, what was your best dialogue?
So we've hinted at it about Clemens and Bolt kind of working together. So here is one of his hints I think he dropped. So Bolt finds Clemens. It's on page 84. And he goes, he's hurt. He has to go to the ground. Bolt's like, who? Punisher? He survived, Clem. Wait a second. I thought that we were working on the Cole Alves shooting. That's what we're working, right? It's what I'm working. That's all. It's funny. It's like, that's what I'm working. Like, he just kind of thought that out a little bit.
Yeah. And I like how Holt didn't catch on.
Yeah.
He's not working, operating the same level as Clemens.
He's throwing it out there. That's what I'm working on. What are you working on, dude?
Yeah. And Holt just goes, that's not what it looked like. He doesn't know what's happening. Anyway, Josh, what's your best dialogue?
I picked the whole conversation because I really didn't think there was a lot of single lines of dialogue that really popped off the page. But it's when Nora is talking to her as producer or boss, whoever, Yurik, and she's like, you know, what if you knew a secret about
You know who Ben Yurik is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't sure it's relevant in the story if he's just because he's their boss, I'm assuming, but in the other stuff I've read him in, he's like the newspaper editor, but she's on TV, so I don't know if he's a producer. I'm not sure what his role is in this. Yeah, I know who Ben Yurik is.
There's some guy she meets. It's weird.
I wasn't sure his role. Yeah, I'm not sure their relationship at this point.
That's fine.
Anyways.
I didn't either, honestly.
Yeah. Because I feel like he's the producer or their showrunner because he makes a comment about her hair. It's like, is this how you're telling me you don't want to be on TV no more? So anyways, it's that conversation they have at the bar where she's like, I know a secret about somebody and it's a story and I think I need to tell it. And he reveals to her that he had a secret about a superhero that he never shared. And he's like, you know, the litmus test is it good for you or is it a good story for the public? Like, is it just good for you? So I thought that added some depth because she didn't write the story. So I thought that was a pretty good conversation.
That's probably the right answer. There was one repeated line that was a gut punch to me every time it happened. But when Rachel Alves was in the hospital, everyone who came in would call her Rachel Cole, and she would correct them every time. It's Alves. I took his name. And you can just feel the sadness and grief coming in waves off of her.
Yep. He was married for 20 minutes, took his name.
It's Alves. Yeah, I just it got me every time. So, Josh, what was your best full page spread?
I'm gonna go with page 30. It's when Detective Holt, or soon to be Detective Holt, telling a story about the encounter they had with the bad guys when the Punisher steps in and does all the shooting. You see him with his super cool vest and all of his pouches. I think that's a Liefeld amount of patches.
See, that one looks like it's on the shirt, Jack.
It looks more like on a shirt, not even
that's
on
as close as it gets actually being on the shirt.
Yeah. I just thought that was cool.
Deadpool pouches.
Yeah.
I think Liefeld would draw a pretty good Punisher story. Because he did like the extreme over the top stuff. I think he'd be pretty good at that. And, you know, Punisher comes with the pouches already.
He's got a lot of pouches there.
That's in his wheelhouse. Mine's on page 15. I didn't even know I'd done it, but his chest is in shadow. I like the way the hideout looks. He looks really tough, like menacing the way he's coming down the stairs. We've got him doing investigation stuff across the bottom. You can kind of see what he's up to. And I think it's just a really well laid out page by Chichetto.
The skulls.
And I didn't even realize it, but yeah, Skull. There's no Skull.
I thought that was some reason. I thought it was like a chapter break or a issue cover. I didn't know what was going on with this.
Yeah, it's another one. Just one of his cool page layouts. Yeah,
I like it.
But right, it is a transition, though. It's a big transition because he's met with Holt and he's got information. That's what those pictures are down there. And then the next page, like he's going after the guys. We shift to their club. All right.
So my full page, I've got three wrote down. We're on page 75. It's the classic Punisher book. I got pulled up now. It's just like more of the 80s, 90s Punisher look.
Yep. That is the guy with the, I think they call it a war wagon, maybe? Murder van? What we call the murder van? I think it was the war wagon or something.
It might be the war wagon.
Yeah, that guy got out of the murder van.
Yeah, that's the murder van back.
Yeah. It is a cool Punisher suit.
It is. I like that one. It's iconic. That's why I picked it. It's most recognizable for me.
Yeah. Josh? You already did yours. Okay.
I went first. I did have a runner-up on page 54. You just wanted to hit it real quick. It's that goofy vulture, but I just like the moon in the background. It's when the vulture first busts through the glass and is taking Frank up in the air. I thought the moon was cool. And I like the way the glass shattered. It looked like other little birds or something. I thought that one was kind of cool.
Yeah, as goofy as that is, as that vulture is, that's a good page. That was my runner-up pick.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. I thought the background and the detail on it was really well.
I love that he's carrying him up in the air with because he's got his talons around his head.
Yeah, he's around his head and his arm.
It's kind of gnarly. Yeah. Right, so what were you saying, Sam? I'm sorry.
If you look in the foreground, you see like one of the feathers in the pouch falling. One of his pouches off his belt. The wings, like the detail they got in, it's just amazing. Yeah.
He's got 9 more pouches. That one.
He's got so many pouches you can knock them off.
Yeah. this is a really good one.
I hadn't caught that.
Well, each one drops something through the roof.
Good catch.
In the pouch.
Yeah. All right. Best Punisher brutality. I'm going to go with the when he takes out the two gangs that are fighting at the playground. Well, not at the park, not a playground. I thought that was some ruthless efficiency.
Yes.
Yeah.
29 through 30. So I have the same exact one.
Yeah.
Josh? Is it Bolt or Holt? I thought it was Bolt.
I thought it was Holt.
I was spelled with
it. All right, Josh, tell us what yours is and we'll look at it.
All right. Well, I went with something different because there was a lot of times where he was brutally efficient, as you like to say, Jamie. But as far as just straight up brutality, after the vulture dropped him and he's at the vet clinic sewing himself up and he needs an extra set of hands to hold the mirror and he goes outside and shoots a couple guys that are holding up or trying to rob somebody just so he can get a fresh set of hands to hold the mirror. Yeah. He didn't care about that guy getting hassled out there. He needed them out of the way. So he just right in the back of the head.
Yeah.
That was extra brutal.
Yeah. And it is Bolt. It's Walter Bolt.
Yeah. You're right. I can't admit it. I was wrong. It happens occasionally. You want to cast this thing?
Let's cast it.
All right, Sam, who is your Punisher?
Don't laugh, but Zac Efron. Rip, dark-haired guy. I want to see him in a good action movie. He's always played like the goofy, kind of the oddball guy. So I think he's due a more grown-up action movie.
He's kind of a pretty boy, but this is a story drawn by Marco Ciccetto. It kind of works.
Yeah.
I can see it with his story.
I can see him doing the crazy eyes. I think he can bring some intensity. Yeah.
He done the Bundy movie.
All right. Josh, who you got?
I wanted to say Frank Grillo. I felt like cheating because I thought that's who they were drawing in this. So instead, I'm going with James Badge Dale. He's already been in a Marvel movie. He was in Iron Man 3. He was one of the extremist guys. He was in that Benghazi movie as a soldier. He's been in a lot of stuff. He brings an intensity
yeah.
that I think would work for the role. And
maybe
I went a little with this one with him.
Okay. I'm willing to be Captain Obvious here. I'm going Carl Urban.
I wanted to say, but I was trying to pick an American guy because he was in the American military.
I don't care.
I wanted to go Carl Urban. I was like, that's Judge Dredd. That guy would be perfect. I want you win. Obviously, because I always agree with Carl Urban because that's a great punch.
And this punch is pretty scruffy. I think Carl Urban is good. Looks really tough when he's scruffy.
I should have just went Frank Grillo. I thought one of you guys were for sure going to pick him.
I like Frank, too. I didn't think about him for some reason because I was thinking Carl Urban. That's who I really wanted. My brain was stuck on him. And then I had watched something with Zac Efron the other day. I was like, oh, he could do it.
That's why I don't think Frank Grillo is that good an actor.
I didn't pick him, did I?
He
looks like the Punisher. I mean,
yes. He does look like the Punisher. And he's a good fighter, action scene guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's a leading man.
Well, I mean,
probably a time machine pick now. He's in his 50s.
He's pretty good at getting punched in elevators, though.
That's true.
Anyway, Josh, who's your Detective Clemens?
I'm going Giancarlo Esposito. Moff Gideon.
See, I wouldn't be able to trust him.
That's a good one, though.
That is good.
He did that quiet, reserved kind of... Like, when he talks, you're going to listen to him. So, like, when he's saying stuff, you're like, oh, he knows what he's talking about. Dude's sharp.
But if he was the detective, I would also assume that he was working for the other guys. It was probably actually the entire, like, kingpin of crime of New York.
You're going Dexter route. Like, he's actually doing the crimes.
He's leading it. That's where his best option is happening. Yeah.
He's putting the bodies in the morgue and then investigating the crimes.
Well, who could have done this?
I like him, though. I think he's a really good actor, too, though.
He is,
but he does villainous too well. I'm going Delroy Lindo. I think he's got the gravitas for it. I think he's got a really interesting voice. He's got an expressive face. Think about him in The One. Just the sort of the it was always the same kind of partner dynamic. I like, the role he played there. And I like Delroy Lindo. I think he'd be good at this.
Yeah.
He didn't have enough of a career. I think he'd be good in an MCU movie.
We do it for you.
Yep.
All right. So for my pick, I want to start out by saying I didn't realize they drawed him in that one panel Josh was talking about. I don't know why I kept saying Morgan Freeman. And I was like, that's Morgan Freeman. It's like, we have to. We'll time machine him from the same
one time.
We know why. We know why. They snuck that in.
They did snuck it in. It's like just straight out of saving. That's a Fight Club thing. A little clip.
You're going to have to time machine him, though. He's like 113 years old now.
He's getting
up there. I supposed to say, what time machine?
Okay.
But I felt like...
He's old Detective Ranger retires what it looked like. So.
Yeah, Detective Clemens, I felt like, was just the detective from Saban. I forget his name in that, name. But that's the same character.
That's what I thought, and that's why I couldn't get Morgan Freeman in my head, so I didn't even try to. I was like, I'm just going to use Morgan Freeman. Time machine.
Problem, though, with casting Morgan Freeman as him is, like, if you cast him as Clemens, he's going to be talking all the time. Whereas Clemens doesn't talk much. He's the strong, silent type. And Morgan Freeman, he's going to be talking a lot. It's going to sound awesome because he's got the Morgan Freeman voice. But
yeah. Well, yeah. He could have more conversations with the girl, Nora.
Yeah. That's coming. You can feel that reading the story. Next up is Detective Bolt. I was pronouncing that wrong. I'm going Wyatt Russell. Played U.S. agent, Falcon Winter Soldier. I could see him, trying to cover up making mistakes because, we've already seen that. It's kind of an easy, kind of a layup here. I think he would. I mean, he's playing a little bit scruffy. Got kind of the longish hair there. I think if they, kind of gave him the facial hair that Bolt has and the haircut, I think he actually kind of would look like him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think the troubled thing that he's got going on, I think Wyatt Russell would nail.
Yeah, I've seen him in other stuff. He's actually good, so I like it. All right, so for mine, I went with this guy called Tom Jane. heard of him or not.
That's almost cheating. I think Thomas Shane is an underrated actor, so I'm not mad about it.
He really is. Yeah, he really is. I like it. I was trying to do a theme pick when I was doing my cast, and I kind of botched it. So
wait. That's a second Time Machine win this episode, though.
Yeah.
I thought we were limiting ourselves to one Time Machine pick per week.
I don't remember that, because I got some more coming.
Sorry. We've been recording a couple years. I'm sure there's a couple weeks you didn't use it. You've got some trips stored up, huh?
I've not used it in a while, actually.
He's been siphoning Time Machine fuel. Josh, who's your detective boat?
Oh, and this I thought was my best pick, and we'll see if I'm right or not. But I've got Scott Eastwood down.
That's another good
one. My runner-up.
I'll buy him as a cop. Like, I'll totally buy him going through the police force and being a cop. But then I also buy him freezing up on the roof and the Punisher saving his butt. And then have him, having the Punisher push him around basically with short little texts, basically snap his fingers and he's got to go running. Like, I think he would do all that really well.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yep.
I think Josh might have stole that.
Moving on. I can see nothing.
Don't acknowledge it. Exactly.
Sam, who's your Nora Winters?
All right. So as I was saying, I was going for a theme pick and I botched it and it started a long time ago. But anyways, it's Scarlett Johansson.
You're recasting the MCU.
Yeah. Okay. And I thought it would be funny to have Tom Jane as in there as the Bolt, not the Punisher. Anyway, so yeah, I'm reusing
this. Okay. She's a great actress. She could do
it. Yeah, I know she could do it. She'd kill us. All
right, Josh?
I've got Elizabeth Banks.
Not bad. She's a really good actress, too.
Yeah, okay. I like her. I feel like Nora was pretty young in this, so she might be a Time Machine pick. I think she would still do the part, and it would be fine, but... Could probably Time Machine her if you needed to.
A little bit. Yeah. She doesn't, I don't know how old she is, but she doesn't look that old. So, I mean,
yeah, I think she's up in her 40s now. So I felt like Nora was like 30. Like she was relatively young. But anyways, yeah.
All right. I've got two. I've got a Time Machine pick and a regular now pick. My now pick is Ana de Armas. Yeah, I think she'd be good at that. You know, I could see her kind of like in Knives Out, where she like clearly is the pretty face, but also like there's more going on underneath, and she wants more. And I could, that's kind of what Nora's doing here. But my Time Machine pick, and maybe I think a couple of panels look like they were kind of leaning toward drawing this lady, was Heather Graham.
That's not bad. Yeah, I kept getting Kim Basinger from like the original Batman movie.
Yeah, a little bit of that.
That's who I was, yeah. So Heather Graham's close, so I like it.
All right, Josh?
Here he went.
You already went. I'm sorry.
Get with
I keep not listening. When your picks are so underwhelming, I forget them.
Thanks.
All right, Josh, who do you have for Rachel Cole / Alves? Or Alves, I'm not sure.
I thought it was Alves.
Yeah, I was saying Alves. Lily James.
Yeah.
Or from Baby Driver.
Yeah. That's my runner up. I had Deborah Ann Wool or Wool as
I wanted to pick her. Yeah.
Yeah. Karen Page from Daredevil.
That's a really good one. I use her a lot, as long as I didn't use her this time.
Don't I? Josh, you did. I'm giving you a hard time, mostly because you're doing really well this week. So.
It was.
Same who you are.
Karen Gillan. Nebula. Yeah. I thought she looked part and all that stuff. She's another great actress.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
The Morgan Freeman, I haven't found him in no MCU that I can think of. He's the one that kind of ruined it for me.
Well, Josh snapped us a bunch. So, Morgan Freeman's not going to rescue you. All right, so for the wild card, I'm going to go with Liam. He's the low-level thug that Punisher chases through 93% of New York City, apparently. I'm going Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead and the Boondock Saints.
Yeah.
That works.
Do that.
Yeah. Sam, what rando did you pick?
All right, so if you want to go to page 7, what panel he was in.
I love that he can never say a name. It has to be go to page in this panel.
They didn't give him a name.
Then maybe you shouldn't be casting him. I think that's the point Jamie's making. Party guest number 4.
Okay, do you see the bald guy facing away from the panel? See the bald spot there? I'm casting.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, anyways, since I messed up last week on my super awesome pick, which turned out to be awesome. But anyways, so if you go to the bottom of the page, he's the guy with the hair, the beard, and the glasses, the dark hair. The guy gets shot in the ear.
Yeah, we've seen.
That guy. So he is Ray Stevenson.
There's your Frank Grillo.
Yeah. Frank Grillo. Well, it's funny. I wanted to cast both the Punishers from the original, the two movies, live action movies. So that's why I got Tom Jane and the Ray guy. That's why I started my Marvel thing. And I ran with it there. So yeah, Ray Stevenson was Punisher from Warzone movie. So Punisher, two Punishers. Three Punishers in this one for
him. What about Dolph Lundgren? No place for him?
Nope. Where would I cast him?
I don't know. Bolt, maybe? That,
no, that's Tom Jane. Thomas Jane. Egg salad. That's right. So I got it.
You want me to rescue us?
The Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie was terrible.
I blocked it. I didn't remember it.
Yeah. It's awful. Anyway, Josh, go ahead.
All right. So I'm got... The character I'm casting is the one Jamie didn't think I knew, Mr. Ben Urich there. And,
the way you introduced that made me think that.
I know, that probably I fumbled that a little. but I'd like to see Gary Oldman do that.
I mean, yeah.
Laying down some advice on the young up-and-coming reporter, you know, giving heartfelt conversation, but also still being a boss, giving her a hard time about cutting her hair and stuff. It's Gary Oldman.
That's a good call. He can actually play both characters, though. He can be in the same scene. He could be Urich and Nora Winters, and we'd believe it.
I almost cast him for the Punisher.
And Detective Bolt. And the Vulture.
Nailed it.
All right. Let's leave the Punisher alone. Sam, what are we reading next week?
Who's your wild card?
Liam? Norman Reedus?
Oh, that's right. You left that out.
Probably my best pick.
My bad.
A little on the nose, but it was a good pick.
Yeah. Anywho. So next week, we're doing Samurai Executioner because Lone Wolf and Cub. That's my exact notes I wrote down.
Because awesomeness.
Because it's the same creative team as Lone Wolf and Cub. And it's the same time period. It's all, I say normal players, but it's that type of story. And Lone Wolf and Cub was like one of my favorite all time. It's black and white, and I picked it, so it should taste
something. I know.
Here's my prediction for next week. We're going to argue about who this guy actually is. I'm guessing for really 15 minutes out of the hour we recorded that podcast.
Oh, I guarantee we are. Because
we've already been arguing about it. We haven't read a single page.
We'll cover it next week. I'll have to do some research, but I read something about it, so we'll see.
All right. Well, I think we're done here. Salute.
I think so.
See ya.
Good night.
Goodbye, Switzerland. Time to record a podcast.